Million Dollar Club. One more again.
Crypto is going to take him to the top.
Crypto is going to take him to the top
today. I'm going to take it easy on the beers today. Last time was a shit show. No one will ever see. No, that video will
you
never
see. You wanted to air it. You wanted to air it. You're like, I got to air it. I have to. I said, nope. Okay.
I deleted that fucking video for the rest of the universe. That will never see the light of day. I was so unprofessional. So looking like shit.
Your audio is like breaking up.
Is it breaking up? Is it good now? I don't know. Just can't win.
Well, no, it's hard to zoom.
Let me just close.
It's hard to do the zoom now. The zoom's not working like it was.
Oh, zoom's working fine. It's just us. We just aren't good at stuff. How about now? Is this sounding better? I'm coming through fine.
The audio is lagging.
Oh, the audio is lagging on my end?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, there's nothing we can do about that. I'm out here in the fucking Caribbean. They just invented Wi-Fi. They just got Wi-Fi out here like last year. Tropical fucking island. Yeah, man. NFT parties, man. That's the new hotness. NFT parties. Do you know what an NFT? Do you even know what an NFT is?
I have an idea.
So NFTs are like, what the fuck is an NFT?
Non-fungible token is what a NFT is.
So like NFTs, now the new thing is like this digital artwork, which is digitally stamped and digitally accredited.
Yeah.
So that's
exactly what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like people buy NFTs.
Yeah, people are buying this digital artwork.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't get it.
I mean, it's a whole new world.
Apparently.
So vast and grand and beautiful. I don't know the words to that song. I love that song, though.
Like, dude, like one of these digital artworks, this is a virtual auction block.
Yeah.
The starting price of $100 on March 11th is sold for a staggering $69 million.
What sold for $69 million?
This all digital works.
It's an entire catalog of digital art?
Yeah, 10-second video by an artist named Bleeple sold online for $6.6 million. Around the same time, Christie's announced that it would be selling a collage of 5,000 all digital works by the Wisconsin-based artist whose real name is Mike Winkleman, put on a virtual auction block with a starting price of $100 and sold for $69 million. I mean, this is crazy.
It's a whole new world, baby. Digital artwork, man. Digital fucking artwork. Hey, I mean, I've been doing digital artwork, I guess, for like the last 15 years. You just YouTube, you know? Isn't YouTube like the beginning of that? And Facebook and Instagram, like digital artwork? Now they're selling it, but you have to have some sort of... So what's the program to...
To create these digital artwork?
No, not to create it, but to own it. Like if I was to buy a painting, an original painting from you that you painted, I would hang it on my wall. What is the enclosure, or what is the application or the tool in which I would own a digital artwork? A TV?
Okay, it says where do you buy and sell NFTs? So digital artwork NFTs are mostly sold on specialized marketplaces like Zora, Rauble, and OpenSea. If you're more interested in games and sports collectors, collectibles, developers like
Dapper Labs have created experiences including NBA Top Shot and CryptoKitties.
Okay.
Which is like a Pokemon-ish digital cat collecting app that was usually the first NFT hit in the late 2017.
Okay. Pokemons.
Yeah, that was like the first one, apparently.
Pokemons, man. You got to get on the Pokemon tip. Buying them Pokemon.
Pokemon-ish digital cat collecting app was actually the first NFT hit.
Pokemon cat
collecting app. I don't know.
It's so funny.
This is all dude, new to me.
Dude, I still have magic cards. Like, I still have fucking, you know, comic book cards from the 90s. NFTs, baby.
Like, here's what some people do with the NFTs. Like, once you buy them, some people display their digital artworks on large monitors. Mm-hmm. Some buy virtual real estate in which they're able to build virtual galleries or museums. You can also roam virtual worlds like Decentraland and check out other people's collections. For some fans, the appeal is in buying and selling, much just like an asset class. The collector who sold the 6.9 million Beeple paid less than $70,000 for it in 2020.
So that makes sense. It makes a lot of sense.
This is a whole new digital realm that we're stepping into.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I see you moved to the studio. Where are you at now? What's that studio, man? You still in the VA?
Yeah, I'm still in Virginia.
Listen, the NFT thing is clearly blowing up. It's a whole new hot topic. I mean, I'm buying in, I'm investing into like the backbone of it, but as far as buying an NFT, that's sure as fuck not gonna happen anytime soon while I'm overseas. When I get home, I don't know, like, what I gotta do? I gotta buy a fucking monitor for like my art gallery? My NFT art gallery?
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
And now
they have this big, like, 3-4 day event. It started on the 2nd and ends on the 4th. The one that Don...
That's where Dirk goes at.
Yeah, I guess they have it at different locations.
Okay. Yeah, whatever works, man. Yeah, he's out there networking. It's all a networking thing. He might buy something. He's working on that first mill. He's working on that first mill. I'm working on that first mill. I'm not going to lie. I've been invested in trading, limit orders and limit sells. You know what I'm saying?
You just hustling?
Hustling and bustling. But, you know. Only so much you can do.
Yeah, I'm checking out this event, the one in New York.
Only so much you can, but dude, there's only so much you can do remotely. You know what I'm saying? And with there's still a lot of quarantine and social distancing limitations out there with everything that. There's only so much you can do. So it's all remote and it's all just all these different crypto and stock trading apps. How many fucking apps are there? Jesus. Crypto.com, Coinbase, Uphold, Fidelity, Vanguard, Robinhood, Weeble. And they're all like complicated as fuck. I remember you and I were talking about talking last week. You were just like, it's so complicated to fucking set these fuckers up.
It is. It really is, man. To like to link your account up and everything to get the actual money in there to start trading or buying crypto, whatever that you're doing. You know, it's like
it's a pain in the ass.
It's not sometimes. That simple.
Well, it's not that simple, but I think it's got to be complicated because they want to protect your. They want to protect your identity and they want to protect your finances. They want to protect you. There's a lot of these apps were getting in trouble and a lot of things were blowing up on them, you know, over the last quarter. You remember the whole thing that Robinhood got in trouble for, like blocking people from buying more GameStop and all that stuff. And now all these apps are not playing games with protection of your account.
Yeah, because now... Like, have you heard about these scams that have been going on? Like, yeah, so Squid Game came out with this crypto token. You know, it costs...
Movie?
The Squid Game...
The show?
Yeah, the show.
So Squid Game came out with its own fucking crypto...
Yeah, got into the crypto game. So apparently, like, this Shanghai investor, like, put his life savings... of $28,000 after coin plummeted to nearly zero because it was like some type of a scam and it plummeted to zero. So they lost, he lost like this person, this investor lost like $28,000. Yeah, it's at zero right now. It says Squid Game inspired cryptocurrency is trading near zero after its founders cashed out.
Jesus Christ. That sucks. Yeah. Well, I mean, you know.
Yeah, it says some investors are blaming mainstream media outlets for fueling the rise of Squid.
It's a crypto coin based on a TV show. So whose fault is that?
I mean, it's all a gamble.
It is. I mean, it's all a gamble. Now, here's the thing, though. Here's the thing that crypto and stocks and investments have been shown to be a better gamble than. I mean, okay. So, what are you going to do? You're going to go.
Okay, it's a better gamble than taking your chance at a blackjack table.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that, but
that's the biggest argument.
Like, also, everybody was hyping.
But that's
up.
The biggest argument I've always had is people are like, "It's a gamble. It's a gamble," and I'm like, "Yeah, everything's a fucking gamble." Me walking outside my house, getting in my car, and not getting hit by another car is a gamble. What isn't a gamble? Right?
That's true.
I decided to become a filmmaker, not a fucking construction worker or a tree cutter. You know how much money I could make as a tree cutter?
Yeah, a lot.
A fucking lot. But I decided to become a filmmaker and a live streamer and that sort of thing. Audio video specialist, actor. And that was a gamble, but I did it. You decided to become a comedian and a podcaster and a live streamer and a musician.
Yeah. So
but also being a firefighter is a fucking gamble. You get in that truck every night.
That's true.
It's a fucking gamble.
Yeah. So like the whole media hyped up this whole squid currency, you know, cause it started trading about 4 cents before the media began to hype it up. And I guess it plummeted. You know?
If they're hyping it up, how in the did it plummet?
I want to say some scams were involved.
Yeah, it was probably a bullshit crypto.
Some type of.
But how in the fuck did this crypto end up on a crypto trading platform? That's the platforms. I mean, this shit has to be fucking vetted it one way or another.
It's interesting, man.
Yeah. Going back to like everything that we've been talking about with investments, tech, energy, real estate, pharma, healthcare. Bonafide.
Yeah, it went from like the token hit a high of over 2,860. before plummeting to nearly zero.
$2,000 a coin?
Yeah, 2,860 before plummeting
a coin.
Yeah. And then plummeting to nearly zero.
Holy so
that's a huge drop, dude.
That is a huge drop. Imagine if you
and this coin has just recently, you know, this coin just came out, you know, it's not like Bitcoin, you know, like Bitcoin took a while for it to hit where it's at now, you know, and that's one coin. This is already at, was already at $2,000, almost $3,000 before it dropped to zero.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, the guy took a gamble big time and it went to zero.
What did he buy into at? Did he buy into at 2,000 of coin or did he buy into?
I don't know. I don't know
what $1 a coin.
He bought $28,000 into it.
Okay. Because if you bought at, like, let's say you bought at $1 a coin of squid and it went up to $2,800 a coin, time to dump. I would have dumped and cashed out.
So he didn't dump in time, so it went to zero and he lost out.
Well, but my question is, at how much did he buy squid?
$28,000.
No, he spent $28,000 of his own money. But how much was the coin? How many coins did he buy at how much a coin?
It didn't say.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Do you understand my question?
Yeah, I understand.
Because
I understand
if squid is a dollar, if squid's one U.S. dollar.
See how it went up, because, you know, it's the same thing that happened with GameStop. You know, it all got hyped up, you know.
Right, the more you pump into GameStop, the more the stock goes up. So all these people kept buying GameStop and the stock went up, right? So if I buy, let's say GameStop is $14 a stock and I pump $1 million into it, I buy $1 million US worth of GameStop stock. And I tell you, you need to buy, and you buy it the next day, it's gonna be $30 or $40 a stock now because I pumped $1 million into it because I bought it at $14 a stock.
Yeah.
So now here you are trying to buy at 14, but you can't because the next day after I did it, you're trying to buy it now and it's 30 or 40 or 50 or whatever. It went up because I pumped $1 million into that stock, into that business, into that value.
Yeah, see, it was originally trading at 1 cent. And then it went all the way up to almost 3,000. It went up to
So if I bought $28,000 worth of stock at 1 cent a stock coin, if I bought $28,000 worth of squid coin at 1 cent a coin and that went up to motherfucking $2,800+ a coin, I would have fucking dumped it at 1,500.
Exactly. But I
would have dumped it at 1,000.
The reason why it dropped is because of a scam.
It dropped because of a scam, or it dropped because everybody just fucking pulled out because it dropped.
No, it dropped an apparent scam. That's why it dropped.
Oh, well. Squid Game. Have you seen that show?
Yeah, I've seen it.
Holy fuck.
It like never ends. Everybody's talking about Squid Game.
Oh, dude, like the EDM tracks people are fucking pumping out based on that based on the theme song are fucking dope. That show was dope. I'm actually considering just going to go watching it again. It was so
Did you watch the whole
fucking
thing?
Good. Yeah, from beginning to end. Did you?
How long did that take you?
It took me a day and a half. It was not that hard to fucking binge watch that. It was so good.
I mean,
did you finish it?
We were binge watching it at the firehouse.
You finished it?
No, I mean, we'd pause it, take runs. I couldn't keep up with it.
But you finished. You didn't finish the show.
I don't think so.
Oh my god! You gotta go back and finish the show. Well. You didn't finish Squid Game? How can we have a fucking podcast about anything if you never finish anything? You are an actor in a Marvel show and you've never seen the Marvel fucking movies. You're an actor in the DC show and the only thing you ever pay attention to is anything that has to anything to do with the Joker. You don't watch anything else. You don't even know what the fuck Asgard is. And you do, and you're an actor in a fucking Marvel show. Oh, have you seen, well, did you, well, it would make sense if you've seen Avengers Age of Ultron. He goes, I haven't seen that. Oh my God, dude. You haven't finished Squid Game, dude?
No, I haven't finished Squid Game. It's never ending.
You're the worst. It is ending. It does end. It's only, I think, 8 episodes or 9 episodes.
Well, it doesn't seem like it ever ends.
It won't end because there's a good chance there's going to be a season 2, but you need to fucking finish it. And you know, so of course we can't even goddamn talk about it because I don't want to spoil it for you because spoilers count even for the members of the podcast. So, all right, maybe next month we'll have a roundtable about Squid Game after, maybe next year, we'll just talk about Squid Game a year after it's come out. We'll talk about fucking Squid Game. What have you seen? Have you seen Dune? You probably
yes,
have it.
I've Did seen you see, Dune.
You seen the new Dune?
Yes, I have.
How in the fuck did you see the new Dune, but you didn't finish Squid Game? All right. So have you seen the original 80s Dune?
No, I've not seen the original 80s Dune.
But you saw this one?
Yeah.
Fucking dope, right?
It was. The fucking score. The score is phenomenal.
Oh, God, yeah. The score is Hans Zimmer, man.
Hans Zimmer. That it just the score, hands down, dude, was awesome.
Yeah. Incredible flick, man. Incredible fucking flick.
And it would be cool just to sample some of the stuff. I don't know if you've heard the entire score.
I mean, I didn't listen to the score itself on like an album, but I know what you're talking about. I watched that movie. I stayed up until like 4 in the morning. 2.5 hours, this fucking movie. And it's only part one. There's going to be a part two, I think, next year.
I knew about the movie from the 80s.
Yeah. So David Lynch did the original, and his original cut was butchered, and it was a flop in the theater. He even took his name off of that version that came out in the theater, like 84 or whenever the fuck it was, or 82. Doesn't matter. But can you hear me? Yeah. I can hear me. Yeah. So then he re-edited it and he made his own 4.5 hour version, I think. And everybody liked it, but it was just too fucking long. And so it's like this extended VHS. Back in the day, remember they had the two tape movies, the two VHS movies? Yep. Scarface came in a 2-tape box set. Heat came in a 2-tape box set. What else? Lawrence of Arabia came in a 2-tape box set. So that's what they did back in the day. And Dune, I think, came out in a 3-tape or 4-tape or 10-tape box set. It wasn't as long as Roots, but it was pretty fucking long.
Yeah, Dune, the original came out in 1984. Huh? I think you said that already. Right?
Pretty good. I'm pretty good with dates and release dates and directors and stuff like that. 84. Yeah, man. Lots in the news, man. Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, Alec Baldwin, man. So, dude, the studio is probably just gonna go into settlement. I mean, they can't.
It's not Alec Baldwin's fault.
No, they can't. They can't pinpoint him.
No,
it was the studio's fault.
Well, it was the prop. It was the armorer.
They're gonna pin it on the studio.
Well, yeah, you gotta. Yeah, you have to go for it. You have to go for the.
I mean, it's kind of this. Yeah. This happened, kind of the same situation with the movie The Crow. Remember,
Brandon Lee. Yeah. And they couldn't pinpoint it on anybody with Brandon Lee. Here's why. You can go watch the movie The Crow, and there's that scene where he goes into that mob boss, that criminal boss or cult boss, whatever you want to call him, that crime lord's dining room, you know, his lair, and he jumps up on the table and he says to all of his henchmen, he goes, just, you know, bring it. And so within the scene, there's 10 different guys shooting 10 different guns at him. And one of those guns had a particle, had some sort of fragment. I don't think it was a live, to the best of my recollection, it wasn't a live round. It wasn't a bullet. It was, but there was something in the barrel. There was a fragment or a particle, something lodged in the barrel.
That's exactly what happened.
And so when the blank went off, but they couldn't pinpoint which gun it was.
He got hit and he got
boom, shot right in the heart.
I thought he got shot in the stomach. I want to say he got shot in the
abdomen.
Yeah, I'm going to. Let me see.
Shot in the stomach. Yeah, it was shot in the stomach. Yeah. When the stomach, I guess he bled out or what. But when you see him fall back in that, I think that was the shot. They kept the shot in the movie. When you see him fall back, he went back, and I think he was bleeding out. But in that particular case, you couldn't pinpoint it down to one gun. So I think the producers got hemmed up or something. I forget what the lawsuits or the litigations or the legal ramifications were of the issue, but with Alec Baldwin, I mean, he was the only one, right? But Alec Baldwin, as far as he knows, he's an actor with a prop gun that's been cleared. He's following direction from the director. But, you know, he's not to be held responsible. And I'm sure he is completely fucked up over this. This is going to haunt him for years, for the rest of his life, obviously.
Yeah, the thing what happened with Brandon Lee, you know, was a dummy bullet from a previous scene was lodged in the barrel of the prop gun without anybody realizing it. And then when the blank round was fired at Brandon Lee, it shot the dummy bullet at him virtually the same force as a live round. You know, he died 6 hours in emergency surgery. Yeah, he died at the he died at the hospital.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Fucking sucks, man. So here we are once again.
It's not on Alex Baldwin. Or Alec
it's
Baldwin.
Not on, it's not, not on it, Alec Baldwin.
Yeah, it's not on him. They're going to blame the studio for that one.
Well, they're going to go after the studio. See, the thing is, the studio hired the crew, and no one did their due diligence on who is qualified to handle prop guns. So the studio overall, umbrella-wise, is responsible. But who fucked up was like, you know, the half-ass armorer, the half-ass prop master, the half-ass safety. There always needs to be like a safety director or a safety commissioner.
Didn't they yell like cold gun or something for the prop? They yelled something.
I forget what it is, how they announce a weapon. You always announce
the weapon. I want to say that it was a cold gun.
So cold gun means it's good to go.
Cold gun, Alec Baldwin.
Because a hot gun means it's no good.
Yeah, he the crew member even yelled cold gun as he handed Alec Baldwin the prop.
Yeah. I mean, the regulations are going to be going in hardcore now with this. And I couldn't agree more. Because you have these mechanical guns, you have certain prop mechanical guns, and they're more expensive. And independent films, you know, don't want to dump into them, but you kind of have to. Where it's a mechanical gun, there's no open chamber; it's all sealed off. When you pull the trigger, it's mechanical. The chamber comes back, and you have to add you have to add the fire and the sound effects in post-production. Mm-hmm. But when you pull the trigger, there's like a whole mechanical thing, but it's a sealed off barrel. There's the barrel's filled in with plastic or molding or whatever. It's all prosthetic, but it's mechanical. When you pull the trigger, the slide cocks back and slide cocks back. And it doesn't, there's no blanks. There's absolutely nothing in the weapon. You have to add the little flare to the barrel, and you have to add the sound effect in post-production special effects. And that's going to just, fortunately, that's going to have to be the norm. And that should have been the norm for a while. And you have these basic elements that you can download. You spend 200, 300 bucks on a pack of NFTs, these digital downloads, these NFTs, where you download this pack of special effects. You can just plug into Final Cut or Adobe or whatever the case, and you just place it on the barrel of the gun in After Effects and post production and editing, and it just looks like the gun's firing off. Goddamn shame, you know. And something like this had to happen. I mean, what was it? About 2013, I think it was. We had that camera woman that got hit by the train. Mm-hmm. Remember that whole hoopla? And there was a film I was working on, and this woman said, you know, she couldn't afford to pay me because she was dealing with, and I was like, we weren't on this film. She goes, I have to deal with this other thing. And I'm like, were you working on the film? I'm like, no. She's a friend of mine. I'm like, okay, well, you know, we worked on this pre-production for this different film. Here's my invoice. And she goes, let me get back to you. And like, it was a battle for like 2 years. And then finally she paid me, trying to pull some fucking bullshit. Like, I can't pay you because of this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, what does that film have to do with this one? But
yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I'm busy dealing with a what's her face that got hit by the train. I'm like, okay, here's my invoice for this project. Always a scammer out there trying to get over on somebody.
Trying to get over on the film guy. This guy just trying to make a buck.
Just trying to do what I love. And you're trying to fuck me over for it. Don't hire me. Fucking idiots. Stupid asses. I got no time for this hoopla. This bullshit. So what's new on the music scene, man?
Still pumping out tracks.
Pumping out tracks. Did you ever go see KRS-One? No. Or has that not come up yet?
No, apparently that show's been canceled.
COVID.
Nah, because they're not getting vaccinated.
Who's not? The artists?
The artists are refusing to get vaccinated. So I think that show in DC's been canceled.
That's a big thing me and Melissa have been talking about, you know, and she's like, you know, you have certain friends that aren't vaccinated, so you won't be hanging out with them. I'm like, well,
she said that.
Yeah, she said that. And it's important to understand. Yeah, because we can't get our kid, who's a year and a half now, we can't get him vaccinated just yet. So I can't hang out. And so she's like, I have an issue with you hanging out with your friends that aren't vaccinated. And I'm like, at the same time, though, it's like the flu shot. We hang out with people that don't get the flu shot. Right? Mm-hmm. I'm sure you hang out with people that don't get the flu shot. Does that affect you hanging out with them because you do get the flu shot? But if you hang out with people that don't get the flu shot, then they might pass the flu on to you. And so right now, that makes sense. And but in two years from now, so when I eventually get home from after this gig, you know, and I'm gonna spend nothing but time with them. I'm not gonna be hanging. I'm probably still do the virtual stuff with people, but by 2023, yeah, I'll hang out with people whether they're vaccinated or not, because by that point, it's just like the flu shot, isn't it? Or is that too soon?
I don't know. We'd have to see.
I mean, give me a different take on it, because, like, think about that for a second. And I mean, I know you're fully vaccinated, right?
Yeah.
But you hang out with people that aren't?
I mean, yeah, I was hanging out with Durko. He's not vaccinated.
So, okay. So then at what point do I not hang out with you because you hang out, even though you're fully vaccinated, I don't hang out with you in person because you hang out with somebody that's not vaccinated. And he could pass it off to you and you could pass it off to
me. I mean, that's at the vaccinated. But that's at the person's discretion.
Right. You know, but they can still but can they still not pass it to you and then you pass it to me?
I mean, yeah, you can still get COVID even though you're vaccinated. I mean, it's just you know, the symptoms are less severe because you have the vaccination.
Right, but then my kid can't get the vaccine until he's 5.
So, I mean, that's...
Unless they make it, because he's been getting vaccines, all the other vaccines he's been getting.
I mean, that's already. That's your choice to be protected of your family. You know, I can't tell someone what to do. In reference to their health, you know?
Right. Now, as of right now, so it's been a year and a half since COVID came out. It's been a year. It's been 6 months since It's been 10 months since the first vaccine started coming out. Holy shit, man. It's November 2021. It's November 2020, but January 20. Okay, so it's been 11 months since the first vaccine came out. And I got the first vaccine, like January 5th, I got it. So then I think, what was it, a week or two ago, they said the vaccine is now FDA approved for children 5 and up. But now, don't you think in a year that the COVID vaccine will be approved for children 0 and up? Mm-hmm. Because my kid was 6 months when we first started taking him to get his shots. 6 months. So it'll be added to the shots of kids, but my kid will be 2, maybe even 3. And it'll be cleared because it's already been cleared for 5 years up. So by the time I get home from this gig, I spend about 6 months at home, still see you guys virtually, or only hang out with vaccinated people. Shit, by the next year, if Gabriel is cleared for vaccinations at his age, then hey, and just hang out with whoever. So. Because there's a lot of these arguments like, oh, this is going to last forever. And it's not. It's going to be just the next thing added to the shot, to all the shots that we get, right? You know, in the military, remember all the shots you used to get in the military?
Yeah.
Yeah, we get all these different shots. Hep, TB, tetanus, rabies. Flu. Gangrene, meningitis. We get all these shots. They just, every 6 months to a year, they give you like 6 different fucking shots. And that's the same thing they do to kids. They give them all these shots. And you go in when you're 4, you get a bunch of shots. You go in at 5, at 6, at 7. And then when you're 18, then it's up to you to go to CVS or go to your doctor and do whatever the fuck. If you're in the military, You know, you're forced to get all these shots. So, I mean, the COVID shot's just going to be fucking added to it by 2023, 2024, 2025. So, I mean, it's just going to be another thing that we're vaccinated for. Just like, I mean, TB, is that still a fucking thing? Tuberculosis? And it is. There's countries where tuberculosis is a fucking thing. Baffling. Are you, I mean, as a firefighter, aren't you mandated to get shots every 6 months or a year or something? The flu shot, the hep shot, the TB shot, the things like that?
Yeah, you are. Like right when you get hired, you're supposed to get those shots, but it's, you know, your responsibility to keep them updated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your shot record's updated. You know, just like you're, like I still have to get the booster shot, but I just got the flu shot. So, I mean, I haven't had COVID yet. Anyone, it's been, what, 2 years?
It's not that bad, man.
Or a year and a half?
It's been almost 2 years, over 2 years. It's not that bad. COVID's not that bad. It's like a bad, super, really bad flu. I actually think I got COVID December 2019 or January 2020. I think I actually had it.
Didn't you have to stay in a hotel or something?
No. So I got it January. I definitely got it January 2021. And that's when the military sent me to the isolation hotel. But I was home, and me and the wife, we thought I just got a bad flu. I stayed in the guest bedroom for 3 days, eating soup and emergency and C4 and crackers. It was a really bad flu. But I honestly think that might have been my first bout with COVID. That might have been COVID and not the flu. But who's to know? Because by March, was it February? It was late February, early March. Everyone was freaking out about COVID. So then we shut in. So we were shut in from March 2020 all the way up until April 2021. And then I came on this gig because I got fully vaccinated in January, but I got COVID 2 days after I got my first shot of the vaccination. So, but it wasn't that bad. You know, we were a little freaked out because Melissa and Gabriel got it. And the fact that he was 11 months at the time when he got it, we were a little freaked out. And we were monitoring him 24/7 and all those things, but he kicked it. So now, I mean, I can sort of easily say COVID's not that bad, but I don't want him to get it because he's so much younger and there's no way of communicating to him what he's experiencing. Me, I'm 40 something. My wife is 30 something. We can communicate to each other what we're feeling, what we're experiencing. And, you know, we need this, we need that, we need the other thing. He can't communicate that to us yet. That's the problem, is the communication level and his age and his vulnerability. That's the extra scary part. But I can tell you from my standpoint, it wasn't that bad. COVID ain't that bad. Just a bad flu. I mean,
yeah, that's the reason why that hip-hop show got canceled, you know, not just, I think it had more to do with the fans not being vaccinated, because they were putting a mandate on the fans, you know, of a mandate for the vaccine. So the fans were like, fuck that, you know, we're not going to be in compliance with that. So, you know, there's supposed to be like 2,000 people there.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have enough ticket sales, then you can't have the fucking show. So, you know, back, I think it was about a year ago, there was a punk show in California, LA area, maybe. It was a punk show. and they were offering, and these guys usually charge, you know what, $30, $40, $50 a ticket. Mm-hmm. But the punk band said, listen, we're gonna only charge $10 for a vaccinated person that can show their vaccination card. And we're gonna charge $1,000 to somebody that's not vaccinated. And they had a sellout show. I don't know how many people there paid the $1,000, but they had a sellout show because they were pushing the vaccination. But I get it. There's a lot of this religious stuff. You know, I got buddies of mine that are, you know, I'm over here on this gig, but I got buddies of mine back home in the National Guard and other buddies elsewhere in the military saying that they are mandating this shit. And there are people that are willing to get a GOMAR, and there's people that are willing to get kicked out of the military because they don't want the vaccination.
Yeah, there's people willing to get, you know, fired from the fire department, police department, other organizations, you know, just because they don't want to get the vaccination or be in compliance.
See, what doesn't make sense to me is, listen, if you've been in the military as long as I have, 10 years, I've only been in 10 years. That's not long, but it's long enough to have gotten all these shots once a year. If you're willing to get all these shots once a year, what's another shot? What is it about the COVID vaccine that is getting you butthurt? That's what I don't understand.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, you're in the military. Someone in the military is sacrificing some of their freedoms in order to fight and defend for the rest of the country's freedoms to be a non-vaccinator, but you're in the military. Mm-hmm. So, but you walk into the medical center and you get shot up with a flu shot, a hep shot, TB shot, rabies shot, tetanus shot, whatever fucking shots. What's the COVID shot? And now that it's FDA approved, I think all the versions now, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, and Pfizer, I think all three of them are FDA approved. So what is your fucking deal now? And it just seems to be stubbornness. It seems to be, you know, hard-headed stubbornness. And so now you're gonna get a GOMAR. You're gonna get kicked out of the military, and you're gonna have this thing on your permanent record for life. What are you holding out for? What are you? I don't get it. That's military wise. It's military wise. If you have always taken these shots they force you to take every year, what's another one that is now FDA approved? What is another one? I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
I'm the wrong person to ask, because when I got my first vaccine shot, because I did the Moderna, so there was two shots with the Moderna, right? One in January, one in February. I got COVID 2 days after I got the one in January. I got COVID. But then fast forward 1 month, I got my second shot, and I suffered from exhaustion for about 8 hours. So I took like an 8-hour nap. I just went to bed early that night, woke up real early the next morning, and it was done. It was over. Good to go. Ready to live life. Is that what you're afraid of? Is the fucking low back from the shot? It's not that bad. I don't really know how it was for the first shot, because I didn't feel any effects because I got fucking COVID. That was the thing. But it's just, I don't know, man. There's just some people that are like, nope, not playing your game, never. It's like, sometimes you kind of have to.
Yeah, that's pretty much what they're doing. I mean, not everybody's doing that, but I think that some people are, you know. They don't want to have to be like, have to feel like they have to do something, you know, in order to keep a job.
It's, dude, I mean, I'm totally about like the entrepreneurial mindset and being self-employed. I've been self-employed 15 years. I never played employment or passion by anybody else's rules. I did what I wanted to do as far as a living, mm-hmm. as far as my lifestyle. But then, you know, there's just some commonsensical shit. Like, get the fucking getting a vaccine. Like, what it, if you're, I don't get the mentality. Like, you think the government's out to like poison you or something like that. And it's like, well, if you've been in the military for so long, why have you been in the military fighting for a government that's going to poison you? You've been in the military, right? So if you're fighting for the country that you think is poisoning its citizens, then why are you in the military for that country in the first place? I don't get the mentality. It's just never made sense to me. Conspiracy theorists that are in the Army or Air Force or Navy or Marines, conspiracy theorists, then why are you even here in the first place?
That's true.
It makes no fucking sense to me. So, I don't know, man. I don't know. Any fucking way, man. You got a new track in the works?
I do have a new track in the works. I just got to finish it up and put it out there.
I'm going to need it for the new motion comic. So I'm turning In the Woods. I'm turning Fear This. And I'm turning the werewolf script of mine into a motion comic. So I'm going to be spending the next couple of months compiling, you know, I'm working on different CGI avenues, you know, manipulating video games to try to pull off these shots to make a motion comic. I've done a little bit of it, and you know, I think you've seen a little bit of it within the woods. We shot some stuff within the woods, and I'm going to do my best to make these motion comics. That's next on my agenda. And then Sinister Infinite, still every Friday, 1 p.m. I think it ends in a couple of months. Rogues Gallery Season 4 premieres the first Friday of January, 1 p.m. on a Friday. Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Got a lot going on. And to wrap up 2021, I can't believe the year is just flying by, man.
It's November already, man. And you know what? And what's disappointing, we're the Zombie Squad, and we didn't do anything for Halloween. We did nothing for Halloween. What a shit year. It's been crazy. I had to pull back on the podcast. I'm sure, you know, the viewers out there, what few viewers that we do have are seeing a very diminishment of content because I had to pull back on the podcast. It's just going to be me, Techfall, Durko, every once in a while doing a round table, catching up on stuff, current affairs, vaccines and film set shootings and wrestler deaths.
And talking about movies that have came out or
Dune.
About to come out.
Dune. I want to hear some fucking...
Dude, have you seen the new trailer for Bloodsport?
Are they remaking it?
I don't know if it's necessarily true. I've seen a trailer. Like, I've seen, like, a mini trailer come out. It's called Redux. Bloodsport Redux. Dude, it's pretty badass if they actually go through with it and do the film. But it's pretty cool. If you haven't checked out the trailer, check it out. Bloodsport Redux.
So what's funny is it's pronounced Redux. But because his name is Frank Dukes, it's Redux. I don't know. This doesn't
because that's how it was spelled. That's how his name was spelled.
It was, yeah.
D-U-X.
All right. So there's only one way to find out. There's only one way to find out, and that is a website by the name of imdb.com. All right. Now, Frank Grillo was in the trailer. I'm not going to look up Van Damme. I'm going to look up Frank Grillo. Because I don't think I don't think Bola Young is still alive. So the fact that I saw him in the clip doesn't make sense, because I think Bola Young passed away.
But they could have still have used them. You know what I'm saying?
If they shot some stuff a while ago.
Exactly.
So, nope. I don't think it's real. Because it's not coming up on his... all right, so we're going to look up Jean-Claude Van Damme. Because they did Bloodsport with a... Didn't they do a Bloodsport, or did they do... No, it was a kickboxer that they did with Dave Bautista.
That was kickboxer.
That was kickboxer. Yeah.
They did Vengeance, and they did Retaliation. I think they did another one.
Yeah, there's no Frank... There's no Bloodsport Redux. It's fake. Sorry. I'm looking up everyone's IMDb's. Sorry, I'm super remote, so I can't do a fucking screen share, split screen with the viewers to show everybody IMDb. You're just going to have to take my word for it or look it up on IMDb. Frank Grillo, Jean-Claude Van Damme. Listen, let's take a look. Oh, you know what? Even better. Where are we at here? Bloodsport. Look up Bloodsport. And we'll look up Bola Young. And Bola Young's still alive, so never mind. Still very much alive and kicking. So it's possible. But that's probably just like a fan trailer. It's just a fan trailer. Someone is trying to, because here's the thing, and people don't give a lot of credit to fan trailers. Someone made that fan trailer, and that might fucking kick off the movie. So it might happen in the next year or so, in 2 years, because of a really cool fucking trailer. But it's a fan trailer. It's not a fucking legit thing, because the last thing Bola Young has on his IMDb is from 2015. Before that was 2007, and before that was 96. He didn't do much. He was just as an actor. He fucking retired pretty much after. You ever seen Shoot Fighter and Tiger Claws? You remember those B movies? Shoot Fighter 1 and 2, Tiger Claws 1 and 2, Ironheart, Double Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Double Impact was his last big fucking film, and then he did Tiger Claws 1 and 2, Shoot Fighter 1 and 2, and that's it.
Yeah, so. I don't know if this thing is gonna be real or not.
It looks, I mean, that trailer looks good, but it's a fan-made trailer. They use scenes from other movies. I mean, a lot of times things like that, they go fucking viral, man. And if they go viral enough, because here's the thing.
Everybody's going to want it, though, man.
Because here's the thing.
It could happen. I mean.
Because here's the thing.
They could run with the plot, you know?
Yeah.
The plot is good.
The plot that they were trying to, like, present in that trailer. Yeah. So, you know. Ryan Reynolds played Wade Wilson, Deadpool, in X-Men Origins Wolverine. And it was a real shitty interpretation of Deadpool. And so a couple years later, I want to say like 4 or 5 years later, Ryan Reynolds got together with a couple of filmmakers and made a pitch trailer where it was a 3-minute trailer that I think they pumped about $10,000 into this uber short film. It was a pitch trailer. They didn't even make a short film. They made a trailer. And they released it on YouTube. And it was so much fucking hype. But Ryan Reynolds was actually behind it. So now here you got a fan. I mean, Alan Smithy, I don't know. Whoever made the fucking trailer, I don't know who made the fucking trailer, but here you have a fan that came up with a loose idea. I want to see this fucking movie. I want them to do a fucking Bloodsport Redux. and it might work. I guarantee you Van Damme's down for it. Guaranteed. Because, I mean, the kickboxer sequels that he was in, they were straight to video. They were straight to streaming releases.
Yeah, they didn't go into the movie theater. They were just straight to a digital platform.
Straight to video. Do you think we can get away with the phrase straight to video even today? Because it's straight to streaming? Is that the new phrase?
Yeah,
straight to
streaming? Yeah, or digital platform.
Straight to streaming. Because does it matter? Squid Game is so fucking epic, and it's a Netflix original, and it's only on Netflix. So does it fucking matter? But Bloodsport Retaliation and Bloodsport Vengeance were...
You mean Kickboxer Vengeance.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I'm sorry, man. Kickboxer Vengeance, Kickboxer Retaliation, I think we can still say B-movies. Can we still say B-movies?
Dude, I like those movies.
I love B-movies. Don't get me wrong.
I thought they were great, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because if somebody just saw, they don't understand the whole story of Kickboxer that they made, you know, Kickboxer and then 2, 3, and 4, you know, after Kickboxer, like that, that his character died in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? If you follow the sequel, you know, the sequel doesn't go too far in depth into it. You know, as far as like them actually being killed by Tung Po, but that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, both brothers were killed by Tung Po. You know, and then
you know,
and then the other brother was in the second one. You know.
You know, Michael Jai White. You know who that is?
Yes, I do.
So he did a movie called Falcon Rising. Okay. Had they fucking pumped maybe $4 more million into this budget? Because it looked like, I wish I could see the budget for this fucking thing. But Falcon Rising.
Didn't they make two of them?
I don't know if there's a second. I think you're thinking of where is it? Falcon Rising. I don't think there's a sequel. No.
No, I thought there was, but there's not. He's made a lot of action movies.
He's made a shitload of action movies, and they're all
B-movies. I mean, a lot of B movies, like Remember Never Dope. Remember Never Back Down.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Like he starred in No Surrender.
Yep.
He wasn't in the first one. He was in the second one.
You're talking about Undisputed.
No, I'm talking about Never Back Down.
Oh, he was in Never Back Down too. Because Never Back Down One was Jimon Phillips, Jimon Hansu, the African guy, the African actor from Amistad and The Island. He was in Never Back Down.
He was in Blood Diamond as well.
Jimon Hansu was, yes. Blood Diamond, by the way, incredible fucking movie.
That's what really put him on the map.
Well, Amistad did, and he was just getting role after role after role after Amistad. But Never Back Down, Blood Diamond really cemented him into like
that's what I mean. I mean, it
really cemented him as a fucking like out, because he really stepped out of that. Even though he was like an African slave in that, he really stepped out of that mold, and he really put everything on the fucking. Everything on the fucking table for Blood Diamond, and he's done so many other works that have been incredible. But Falcon Rising, if you were to check out, I wish I could see the budget for this joint, because Falcon Rising, let's take a look at IMDb Pro then. I have IMDb Pro, you stupid bitch.
budget was $4.5 million.
For Falcon Rising.
Yeah.
If they had pumped two, maybe three, made it a $6 to $7 to $8 million budget for that film, that shit would have been in the theaters. And it would have been fucking badass. Falcon Rising was fucking dope.
Because Lionheart was in the theaters and that had a $6 million budget.
Lionheart. Bloodsport was in the theaters. Lionheart was in the theaters. Kickboxer was in the theaters. Everything Van Damme ever fucking touched since Bloodsport has been in the theaters. Black Eagle wasn't. No Retreat, No Surrender wasn't. But Bloodsport was. I think Cyborg was in the fucking theaters of all movies. Yep. Cyborg was in the theaters. First
one. They made Cyborg Nemesis and then Cyborg X.
Cyborg Nemesis was kind of good, and that was Angelina Jolie's acting debut. Angelina Jolie was the Cyborg. Yeah, so Bloodsport, Black Eagle was not, but Bloodsport was in the theater, Cyborg, Kickboxer, Lionheart, Death Warrant, Double Impact, Universal Soldier, Nowhere to Run. He had a cameo in Last Action Hero with Schwarzenegger, Hard Target, Time Cop, Street Fighter, Sudden Death, The Quest, Maximum Risk, Double Team, Knock Off. We're all in the theater. I don't think Legionnaire was. I think that was straight to video. Universal Soldier: The Return was in the theater. Inferno, Replicant, The Order, Derailed, and then from then on, all B movies.
Yeah, he was on a straight B movie. He was on a B movie trip for a minute.
Yeah, because what did he do? He fucking did Time Cop and Street Fighter, and they want and so the studio wanted to offer him another 3 or 4 picture deal at a certain price, and so he demanded double that, and they said no, and he kind of got blackballed. Plus he was having the drug problems, the drinking problems, and the domestic abuse problems, and so they said, you know, fuck you, and he was doomed to be movies since then. And so he still had a couple of films. He was still under contract to make a couple of films, and so he did The Quest, Maximum Risk. Somehow Double Team and Knock Off ended up in the theater, and I don't know how.
I don't know how Double Team made the theater.
Fuck.
The movie was Dennis terrible. Rodman.
And Mickey, Dennis Rodman and Mickey Rourke. And then Knock Off. If you're doing a movie and if you're doing an action movie and your sidekick is Rob Schneider, you're fucked.
Knock Off.
Think about it. Judge Dredd, Stallone, and Rob Schneider. Knock Off, Van Damme and Rob Schneider. Rob Schneider's funny. Don't get me wrong. Rob Schneider's funny. Deuce Bigelow's kind of stupid funny, but it's funny. And then The Animal is funny. And what was the other one he did?
He did The Hot Chick.
The Hot Chick was, it's kind of funny. Like, he does stupid, funny movies. But let's be honest. If you're doing an action movie and your sidekick is Rob Schneider, you are fucked as an action star. You are double fucked. And if you're doing an action movie with Dennis Rodman and Dennis Rodman is your sidekick, you are triple fucked.
The guy never acted before in his life.
Bro. So Dennis Rodman did a movie called Simon Says. And it's so he's not playing the same character from Double Team, but it pretty much is the same character he was playing in Double Team. Now he's got his own movie. But he's got a different name and like he's like this master disguise, and but who the fuck can't tell a 6'5" tall black guy with piercings all throughout his fucking face? You're not gonna be much of a master of disguise. But the movie is called Simon Says, and his name is Simon something. In that movie, his sidekick was Dane Cook, 3 years before Dane Cook started hitting the stage and became the comedian that he is today. But this was like Dane Cook's acting debut. He ends up in a movie. Simon Says ended up in the fucking theater. I think it did. Because this was like, hold on a second. I'm gonna look up the year, because this was the year like studios were just up their ass with not knowing what the fuck to do with their not knowing what the fuck to put out there. But Dane Cook was like the fucking was the second lead man in this movie. Yeah, he's the second lead man in this movie. Simon Says.
What year did it come out?
And it came out in 99. 2 years later, he came out with his comedy special on Comedy Central and then released his album in 2001. And then in 2005, he took advantage of MySpace, or 2004, he took advantage of MySpace, and he was plugging his fucking gigs. And Dane Cook became a worldwide fucking phenomenon from 2001 into like 2009. And he kind of, and then he started doing like big budget, shitty rom-coms that just, And then it came out somehow that fucking Dane Cook was stealing jokes. I don't know. Apparently he was stealing jokes. And he finally got called out for it.
Some of these B movies are funny, man.
But listen, I mean, Dane Cook. Oh, shit. He was in some other stuff. He was in Mystery Men.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He was the Waffler.
He was a mystery man.
Stuck on You? Oh, he wasn't Stuck on You, but he had become a famous. He was in Torque. What a shit movie Torque was. And he was in Mr. 3000 with he just did a quick voice of somebody in Mr. 3000. But he was in that monkey movie with Rene Russo, Buddy. You remember that movie that Rene Russo did where? Apparently it's a true life story. The depiction of the true life story of Gertrude Lynn, an eccentric 1920s socialite who tries to raise a gorilla in her hotel or something like that. Then you had Mystery Men, and he was the Waffler. Is he even on the cover? He's not even on the cover of the fucking. So he had a small part in Mystery Men, and then he was in that movie Stuck on You, where Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear, they were Siamese twins or whatever you call them, conjoined twins. Yeah. He was in Torque with Ice Cube. He was in it. Oh my God. Who the fuck else was in this movie? Dane Cook was in it. Yeah. Like nobody was in this movie.
He was in Waiting.
Well, yeah. Waiting was good. But Waiting was really fucking good. Waiting was hilarious.
He's in a lot of movies.
Yeah, Mr. Brooks, he was really good in. He played a fucking psychotic villain. Dan in Real Life apparently was really good. I mean, some of the movies he was in, it's the movies that he has a supporting role in. But when he's the lead in a rom-com, you can, like, Good Luck Chuck. Yeah. Employee of the Month, Good Luck Chuck. Those were some shit. Those were some shit movies. He did voice work in Grand Theft Auto 5.
He was in My Best Friend's Girl.
My Best Friend's Girl was kind of good. That was actually kind of good though. Detention. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie. Detention came out in 2011. He was the principal. He looks so different. He really jumped into like this old pissed off principal role, but Detention was good. But yeah, man. I mean, you know, he got his acting career kicked off in Simon Says with Dennis fucking Rodman. I'll never fucking forget it.
And Van Damme was like, "Sure, I'll be your sidekick."
Yeah, Double Team.
Double Team.
Well, here's the thing. See,
terrible movie.
What people don't give Van Damme credit for, is the films he's done where he's played a twin. You know, like, there's only one Van Damme, but he's done movies. He's done multiple movies where he's able to work with the director and the cinematographer, in which there's two of them, Double Impact, Replicant. Oh, there was another one. Double Impact, Replicant, Maximum Risk. There was two of them because they were twins. And there's another one. I'm forgetting it. I think that was it. Oh, Time Cop, because, you know, he went back in time and there's two of them standing next to each other. Like, he was able to pull off those movies where he's interacting with himself, the CGI and the special effects and the acting and the direction and hitting your marks and hitting your cues and the whole special effects aspect that goes into that thing. Maximum Risk, Replicant, and I think that was it.
Impact was a really good movie.
Double Impact was good. But I don't know if you ever seen JCVD. He should have been at least nominated for some sort of award for JCVD.
I haven't seen that movie.
That's one of his best films he's ever fucking done. Jean-Claude Van Damme gets involved in a bank robbery with hostages situation and reflects about his life during it. So he's playing himself in a fictional situation. And it's fucking so good, man. Between his tax problems and his legal battle with his wife for custody of his daughter, these are hard times for the action movie star who finds that even Steven Seagal has pinched a role from him. In JCVD, Jean-Claude Van Damme returns to the country of his birth to seek the peace and tranquility he can no longer enjoy in the United States. It's really fucking good, man. It's really good. Yep. JCVD is definitely worth a watch. I might actually try to like track that down tonight and watch it again because it's really good, man. It's really good. That was his tour de force as of late. I wish he got more stuff going on, but he doesn't.
I mean, he really doesn't need to.
I can't wait to see who's in Expendables 4. Expendables 4 is filming at the moment. And Stallone probably plans on continuing to do that shit. That man's not getting old anytime soon.
Megan Fox is in it, 50 Cent.
Expendables 4.
Randy Couture.
Yeah.
Stallone. Jason Statham. Dolph Lundgren. Tony Jaa.
Tony Jaa is going to be a good addition. Tony Jaa is going to be a real good addition to Expendables 4.
Antonio Banderas, Andy Garcia.
Antonio Banderas and Andy Garcia are going to be fucking good as shit in that movie, man.
Eddie Hall.
Okay. Because 50 Cent was in the Escape Plan movies with him. So I guess Andy Garcia is taking over for Harrison Ford, who took over for Bruce Willis.
Well, there's a couple more. Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke's in this?
Levy Chan.
Mickey Rourke is in this one?
Yeah.
In the fourth one?
Mm-hmm. Supposed to drop 2022.
I don't see Mickey Rourke in here.
That's what it says on here. This is...
What are you looking at?
Expendables 4, 2022, no, what, thriller what, action.
What website?
On Google.
Oh, just Google?
I mean, it may be different on IMDb.
All right, let's take a look at Mickey Rourke.
Let's go on IMDb.
Yeah, he's not listed in
Expendables. He's not listed in the IMDb. So I don't know.
That'd be dope if he is, though. But
I mean, unless he pulls a cameo. I mean, that's a possibility.
That's a possibility. It's just a cameo.
I mean, these are all just the main actors and actresses in this film.
Yeah.
Some of the names, I don't even know who they are.
I don't know who any of these people are. Well, I know the guy from Raid. The Raid is in Expendables 4. He'll be a good addition. That'll be dope. Yeah, man. Expendables 4 coming out. That's going to be a blast, gentlemen. Oh, there's only one of you. That's going to be, well, I guess to my viewers. Yeah, Expendables 4, check it out. Hey, listen, you know, we can go ahead and call it quits now, man. It's been a good hour and a half. So, you know, follow us on Instagram. What's up? Talk to me.
I'm excited for Bloodsport Redux.
Hopefully.
In 2022, man. I hope they make it happen, man.
Hopefully.
That would be so awesome if they did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we shall see. We shall see. I don't foresee it happening, but, you know, if the fans get that, if the fans get that shit going, that'd be great.
Like Van Damme would do it. He doesn't care if that shit goes to fucking VHS.
Yeah.
He doesn't care if it even hits a streaming platform. He'd be like, oh, it's going to VHS. I'll do it. It's going to Betamax. I'll do it.
It's going to Laserdisc.
Laserdisc.
Yeah, streaming Netflix, man.
I'm sure he's done movies that went straight to Betamax.
Fucking HBO Max original, Bloodsport Redux, Hulu original,
Hulu. A YouTube original.
Exclusive, YouTube Red exclusive. Yeah, yeah, we'll see. Well, yeah, man, it was a blast chatting with you. Follow us on Instagram, ZombieSquad211, Dead On Pictures. Follow us on Twitter and Tumblr and all the other bullshit, Dead On Pictures. YouTube, deadonpictures.com.
Follow Durko and get all the information on the crypto and
IWU management,
NFT and all that good stuff.
Patience the podcast. You know, buy our merch at deadonpictures.com. We got plenty of t-shirts. Buy some of our merch, you know, throw a few bucks our way. YouTube, first and foremost, our YouTube, Dead On Pictures on YouTube. Sinister Infinite, Rose Gallery, still coming out every Friday, 1 p.m. Be on the lookout for some Zombie Squad original motion comics that are coming out soon, next couple of months. In the Woods, The Diner, Fear This, Suspect, We Hit a Wolf, are a number of different motion comics that'll be coming out soon. So check it out. Techfall, blast having you on, you know, as always, just catching up, rambling about random shit. So don't go anywhere, man. We're going to chat.